I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Shypedia Podcast. I'm your host, Marsha, and in the studio with me, I have the talented Marlon Wayans, the funny guy. He's brilliant.
I'm all right.
On and off screen. Yes, he's all right.
I'm all right.
Okay, so welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. I love this place. I hate your weather, but I love the place.
Okay, I was about to say, are you just saying that because you're here? Or
no, I love the soul of Chicago. I hate the weather. The people are wonderful. The people are loving and awesome. Everybody's your sister. Everybody's your mom. Everybody's like, you know, a wife. Well, you put some warm on your neck. You know, I love the city. I filmed my first movie out here, Mo Money.
Was it?
Mo Money filmed out here.
Oh.
I'm actually writing a movie right now, which will hopefully take place in Chicago.
You know, I was going to ask you that. Are you planning on bringing anything back here to Chicago?
Yeah, because just because you asked me that. I figured, you said X. You must be from New York.
No. Is that a little country? Well, that's a little country.
You said X.
X.
Ask.
Oh, no. That's the little country in me. It's not New York.
Where are you from?
That's not New York. I'm from Indiana.
Oh, I gotta go.
Why?
I'm joking. I plan on, hopefully, my next movie I'll do out here in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I just gotta write it first.
Okay. Well, you're a busy guy and you're talented enough. I mean, we're looking forward to anything that you have going on. You're actually in Chicago for a reason.
Yes, I am performing. I got 7 shows this weekend at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg. Right?
That's the Chicago Improv.
Yeah, in Schaumburg.
Mm-hmm.
And everything sold out except for 2 shows. Saturday at 11 o'clock, that show is still open. And Sunday at 9:15. So get your tickets, come see me. It's selling quick, so hurry up. I'm not lying.
Well, you know what? Those shows were added. They were just added.
I'm so trying to be somebody,
girl. You were sold out. I want to be like you when I grow up, though.
You better than me. You got this quiet radio station. Ain't nothing quiet in Chicago. You found one quiet place.
Well, you know, it's a few pillows over there. Take a nap if you need to.
little pillows.
What'd you need, big pillows?
Those look like mini pads.
All right, so he sold out most of his shows, so he had to add on. I'm sure by the end of the day, you know, they're going to be sold out, so get your tickets now as soon as possible. But, of course, you have a lot of things going on. You're doing a stand-up, and you also have a few shows.
Yeah, I had a few shows. They canceled my show, Marlon.
Marlon.
Yeah, I think it was too funny, and it was like,
yeah, you know, the world has changed.
This feels like a science experiment. Like, okay, you know, it's a great show. Let's put it in a really bad time slot in the summertime. Let's not tell anybody that it's on. Let's give them one poster in the whole world, and let's see how it does. Oh, they got numbers. Season 1. Drat, darn it. Curses. How do we stop that? I know what we'll do. We'll change his lead in, and we'll move him to a new date, and then nobody will know he's on. And they did it.
Okay. And that was with Marlon.
Yeah. And okay. But now it's on Netflix. So if you want to see Marlon, it's on Netflix, season 1. I'm not sure if season 2 is on there yet, but when it does come on, most people knew thought it was a Netflix show, not an NBC show. They're like, I love your Netflix show.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was from Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was really funny.
The check said NBC, but everybody else knew it
Netflix.
From Netflix.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to the movie I have dropping with Netflix. It's called Sextuplets.
This isn't a series. This is an actual film.
It's a movie.
Okay, so what is this going to be about?
It's about a guy who is adopted, and he's having a baby, and he wants to find his birth family. So he goes on a journey to find his birth mother, and he finds out that he's one of 6 twins, which are what's called sextuplets, hence mm-hmm. the title. And he goes on a journey to find his brothers and sisters, and I play all the brothers and sisters and the guy looking for them. So I play 7 different characters and
oh
the mom.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How in the hell?
It's complete insanity. This is one of the characters right here. I'll show you. Where is that? It's on my Instagram if you want to check.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
What?
I did check your Instagram. I didn't see
that.
You
character. Stalker?
Yeah. I'm from Indiana.
Stalker. All right. So favorites. Where's favorites? Okay. I'll show you. This is one.
Okay. Yeah. So he's a fat guy. He looks like
one fat guy.
He looks like the Bill Cosby character.
That's his sister.
Okay.
Dawn.
She sort of looks like Respucia.
No.
A little bit.
This is the mother.
Okay.
That's Ethan. Ethan the shady brother.
He looks like, Poe Pimp.
Yeah, he's not a pimp.
He's not a pimp.
No, he's just a little shady. This is Jasper.
Oh, my Jasper. Gosh. These characters. Jasper. I mean, the makeup in a wardrobe is like out of this world.
It's the craziest movie ever.
Who's in charge of all the costume in wardrobe?
Who did the costuming in the wardrobe? I forgot.
You forgot. That's okay. But they did an amazing job.
I went to war in this movie, so I don't even. I'm just now getting my.
How do you prepare yourself to do this?
You like, don't. You work. I work seven. I work 20 hours every day for 50 days. So I would sleep 2 hours a day, but sometimes three. When I couldn't do two, I'd call my producer and be like, I'm not going to make it. I need an extra hour.
How many days, how many times did you have to do that?
Four times I called him. I need an extra hour or two. You got to push. And he'd be like, all right, I'll see what I can do, brother. And he would make it happen. Because honestly, it's hard to, because I was doing makeup for 7 hours. And after I do 7 hours of makeup, I would have to perform for 14 hours. So I would have 2 hours. It'd take an hour to get the makeup off. An hour and a half sometime. And so I would go home and get, and then it was an hour drive. Like, I would only have like 3 hours sleep because I was supposed to cut. If I got off at 12 or 11 o'clock, I'd have to be back at work at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Marlon. And you look good. I don't see any bags under your eyes.
My insides is terrible.
Your insides? Why are your insides Why are your insides terrible?
I don't know. Probably pickled and abused. But honestly, I feel like when you work at this level, it prepares you for more work. So I'm just looking forward to this next chapter.
He's yawning now.
It's okay.
You guys.
I can be tired. I've been up since 5. I flew in last night. I flew in at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I slept 2 hours. To
oh
get up,
gosh. Maybe get you some
hours.
B12.
I've had that.
You've had it. Okay.
I take over 130 vitamins every day.
Oh my gosh!
Every day, and that's the only thing that keeps me alive.
Oh my goodness! Well, you look good, Marlon.
Thank you, baby girl. And I'm 46 and fabulous.
46? What?
Looking 26.
I had your brother in here a few months back. Sean was here with me.
Oh, okay.
Will he be showing up in Sextuplets?
No.
Okay.
I would love for him to have been in it, because then I would have had a few days off.
Oh. Well, should we have anything to look forward to with you guys? Because we love this duo.
I love my brother. We just haven't done anything together in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll, you know, get in a room and do something together. I love working with Sean. We have a lot of fun. But, you know, this journey the past 5 years has been, you know, really trying to Bill Marlon. I've been a part of the Wayans legacy, and now I want to create my own legacy, which is Marlon, and still be a part of the Wayans legacy. But I would love to have the flexibility to both.
Yeah. Now, before we move on, any other people in this film? I know you're playing, what, six people, six characters?
Breisha Webb.
Okay.
Molly Shannon. Breisha Webb was on my show, Marlon. She's such an amazingly talented, funny. She's a superstar waiting to happen. So Breisha Webb, Molly Shannon, Michael Ian Black, and Glenn Turman, Debbie Morgan. And I literally play like everybody else.
Wow, Glenn Turman. Shout out to him. I love him. Okay, so you're doing a stand-up comedy, which Woke-ish on Netflix was a hit.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer more, the on-screen or the stand-up?
I love it all. But if I had to choose, I'd take stand-up, because I think it's the truest art form of comedy. It's the truest art form, and you have an audience, a paid audience, is sitting there going, "All right, be funny," and you have the pressure to go be funny, and it's your thoughts, your ideas, your script. You're the writer, producer, star every night. And you can't fail.
What type of approach are you taking? Are you getting more personal now?
Much more personal. I don't even like this whole Jussie Smollett stuff and all this Trump stuff. I don't even look at it.
You don't look at it?
I don't look at it to do material. I just don't. I'm looking inside to find what's funny about my life and what resonates. And what's funny about my experience, and what's something that hurt that I could talk about that, you know, hopefully can be healing to somebody else. So I think it's layers of an onion. I did the pop culture thing with the first special, Wokish, but this one kind of picks up where Wokish left off, which is me getting personal.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the Wayans family. You guys, you stay out of the tabloids, out of the media, which is an awesome thing. So it's kind of different now to see you from a more personal perspective. What made you decide to just start opening up?
I think, I just think the comfort of a comedian, like to really be able to take your pain and make people laugh, to take your experience and take your truth and go, what's funny about it? And I find that that's evergreen material. Mm-hmm. You know, we could do Trump jokes all day, but he's only going to be here 4 years.
Yeah.
And after that, he's made his stain on history, but still, do we want to keep revisiting that? Mm-hmm. But the things that you find when you go inside are things that, you know, resonate with everybody, family and friendships and love and just growth. And so I really like it. It allows me to be a different kind of performer. I could be crazy, but I could also be insightful and aspirational and inspirational.
And that's the thing, you know, that's another side of Marlon that it's like you're so much more serious now.
I've always been. It's layers of an onion. When you first come out, you know, it's silly, and at a point, you know, it's funny, the fool is usually the smartest one in the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we sit back and we watch everything. We go, and here's what's funny about it. The way our mind works is like, you know, we're not just taking it in. We're taking it in and instantly producing output. Mm-hmm. And that takes a certain level of intelligence. Go, all right, let me flip this. Oh, you know what's funny about this? And that's with every situation that happens in our lives. Like, the worst situation could happen. And I'll be like, you know what's funny about this? And it's like, what? And it's just the way I think.
You know, society now is so serious, you know, with the whole Jussie Smollett thing for comedians now, it seems like it's tough for you guys because you have to almost be you have to filter things a lot, or you have to be careful what you say nowadays, whether it's going on Twitter, even posts from many years ago, people are digging things up. Does that affect you in any type of way? Do you feel like you have to, you know, step back and not talk about certain things because of the backlash?
I don't apologize for jokes. I said it, so be it. If it hurts people's feelings, sometimes that happens in comedy. It's never your intention, but when you crack at a joke, you know, we live in a society where everybody is easily offended.
Yeah.
And I even think it's people. I think it's the bots on Twitter. That's not even real people, real accounts. They have an agenda, and that agenda is to stifle the great thing about our country, which is freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you stay unapologetic. I'm not a politician. If anybody, put it this way, if the president ain't apologizing for some of the stuff he says,
why should you?
Why should I ever? Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be a politician. I'm never going to run this country. But I am going to be a comedian, and I'm going to go, yo, here's what's funny about this. And I think that, you know, we got to stick to our guns, and, you know, you can say it. And if you don't like it, you can leave.
Yeah.
There's the door.
Just like the thing that happened with Kevin Hart.
You don't have to tune in.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to come see a movie. You ain't got to come see.
I love that.
You ain't got to. But people that, I'm not here for you. I'm here for my audience that wants to see me and hear what I got to say about whatever comes out my mouth. Whether you agree or disagree, the commonality is the joke. If it makes you laugh, then we can agree to disagree, and it was still a fun journey.
Yeah, you know, they did that with Kevin Hart, with the Oscars, you know, digging up stuff in the past. When we talk about the fact that, you know, I love your outtake on it. I'm glad that you're unapologetic. I love that. And a lot of the films, especially like White Chicks, and
you know, they try to get me to apologize for White Chicks.
Yeah, I know, with this whole Gucci and blackface thing. I know they've been coming hard with the White Chicks.
Y'all
thing
stop
now, right?
Trying to find an excuse to justify your racism. White Chicks was not a movie based on that at all. White Chicks, you know, here's the thing: the greatest form of comedy, of flattery, is mockery. And when you do a joke, the people that you're making fun of, for it to be a great joke, should probably laugh the hardest. You know who loves white chicks the most? White chicks. Okay. And white chicks, we're not going in white face and all this. There's no negative stigma connotation that has to do with white face.
It's a
black
comedy.
People were not in a position, you know, we were demoralized. So it's not it's not even playing field. Sorry. So, and it's a comedy. And ours is not based on something that was so hurtful to a group of people for, you know, years, hundreds of years. Like, so for us, I'm about these jokes, man. And I'm blessed that all audiences love that movie, and I'm not going to let the bots on Instagram or Twitter or anything else, or these new racists try and, you know, find ways to be racist. It's just not. Ours is about jokes, and really, ours was less about race and more about gender.
Yeah.
Than it was about, and situations, than it was about, like, oh, this big take on race. It really wasn't that.
And the thing is, a lot of you guys work, people want to see a lot of reboots, whether it's in Living Color, the Wayans Brothers, all of your stuff. I mean, we're missing this, and we're looking forward to reboots. If there's anything that you had to reboot, what would it be? What would you want to redo?
I could see a reboot of Living Color.
Could you?
I mean, it won't happen, but I could see how that could be great. I could see a reboot of Wayans Brothers. I can see, a White Chicks 2.
Okay.
I could definitely see a White Chicks 2.
Okay.
I see it. But we like to do new stuff. We rarely tread on the same water. We like to try new things.
And that's the thing. I feel like we live in a microwave society, or people aren't being as creative as they used to be. And I love how you just said you work on new things. There's new ideas out there. Bring it to the table.
Yeah. And, you know, chew on different food. Cook something new and let the audience chew on something new.
If you enjoyed something in the past, go watch the reruns, right?
I try to reinvent all the time. If I didn't reinvent, I wouldn't be doing this for 30 years. You know what I mean?
30 years, Marlon.
30 years.
Gosh.
And I'm still nowhere close to where I want to be. And I'm getting better.
How would you like to fulfill your legacy? How would you like to be remembered? Is there...
Always with a smile.
Okay.
Whenever you think about something or watch something that I did, that if you're having a bad day, or, you know, you get in an argument or something, and you just have a negative disposition about you, that you could turn on something I did, and for whatever time that is on, you get to escape from your reality and laugh. And that's my gift to the world, is a smile.
I'm smiling now, y'all.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you for that. He winked at me also. Okay, so this is Black History Month.
Yeah.
And I just learned something new about you. I didn't know that you were cool with Tupac. You had just saw him prior to him being killed.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Biggie.
Yeah, so 20 minutes20 minutes before Biggie got killed, I seen Biggie. So 20 minutes from now, you're probably going to get killed. But I'm just saying, it's not me.
I have a witness back here. I'm looking around like, this, you know what? I caught the train here, so I should be all right.
Oh, you may get killed.
You better stop it, Marlon. But that's, you know, that's history. What was your feelings when you first found out that this occurred? Like, it happened twice, man. Like,
well, Pac was our friend, so me and Omar Epps went to Performing Arts High School together, and he did Juice with Tupac. Him and my best friend Mitchell, they did Juice with Tupac. And then I used to come up from college to go hang out on set, so that's where I got cool with Pac. And then him and Jada were cool, and me and Jada was cool, and then and we were really good friends. And then me and Pac did Above the Rim together, and we got really cool. And then me, him, and Omar used to all hang out, and Mitchell. And so I knew Pac. So when Pac passed, that was, you know, that was a lot of tears. And Biggie, I've known Puff a long time. I know Mark Pitts, who was his manager. The whole Bad Boy crew, I knew them all, went to school with, you know, a lot of the producers at Howard.
Yeah.
And I met Biggie twice. And so when that happened, that was a sad night. I was up at the hospital seeing everybody hurting, and it was, you know, hip hop changed.
With Tupac being gone, a lot of his songs, they're still relevant today. If he was here today, and I'm just picking your brain, if Pac was still here, how do you think he would react to this whole Jussie Smollett thing, especially with him saying he's the gay Tupac?
I don't know, man. Pac, you never knew what Pac was going to say. But if Pac was still alive, I don't think Jesse would have even used that reference. he would have picked somebody who wasn't accessible for an ass whooping. He'd be like, I'm the gay Trey 9-6. He's still in Treyway. I'm the gay Treyway. He's still in jail, right? All right, cool.
Okay. All right. And before we get out of here, I am working on a project right now with CineSpace Film Studios here in Chicago. I don't know if you're familiar.
No.
No?
Oh, I think I might have been.
That's where Empire is taped, and you have Chicago PD and all those. My question to you is, why do you think diversity behind the scenes in film will be important?
I mean, we've been promoting that for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me and my brothers, we've all been proactive writer, producer, directors, more than just talent. And when we do movies, when I do a TV show, you walk on my set and it's multicultural. I think it's important that we write more and we direct more so that we tell our stories from our perspective. And you know, and we can hire people and give good people of color the opportunity to go be great.
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah.
Don't just hook up a friend.
It's important.
Don't be like, I'm going to hook you up. You're going to do costumes. Why? Because you dress nice. No. It's somebody who is good at what they do, who is looking for an opportunity, who's willing to work hard and hustle. It'd be nice to give them that opportunity.
How can they take the steps in doing so?
Well, everything takes work. Mm-hmm. You just do the work. If you do the work, you know, your career is defined by what kind of work you do. My career is defined by the work I do. I'm working. When haven't y'all seen me not work? I've been doing this,
man,
27 years.
You went to Howard University.
I was working when I was at Howard.
So you were the youngest of the Wayans. Were you the only one who went to college?
No, Kim went to Wesleyan. Keenan went to Tuskegee.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was three.
Okay.
But I didn't graduate Howard. I left.
Yeah. You started working.
I did more money. And then, but even now, like, I don't have to do stand up every weekend. I'm trying to get better. I'm going somewhere. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just doing the work. I'm doing that, writing movies, still developing my next TV show. I don't rest on my laurels. I just keep working.
Awesome.
And that's what defines you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're looking forward to the next few projects that you have coming up. We're going to follow this journey and this path. You are in Chicago all weekend, February 22nd through the 24th, with multiple shows.
Yes. Saturday, I have only shows available. Everything's sold out except for Saturday at 11 o'clock and Sunday, 9:15. So I added those two shows. Get your tickets now. They're going fast.
I may have to go on my birthday. My birthday is Sunday, so
come on now.
Have to go ahead and check you out for that last show.
All right, good. That's gonna be a good one.
Yeah,
I get to spread out. It's a good one.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Marlon. We'll definitely be on the lookout. We're gonna check you out this weekend, and we'll be looking out for you the month of your birthday, sextuplets.
In July, trying to be somebody.
That's July.
Sextuplets.
Sextuplets.
You're killing. Name second to tell
you. I'm a little country. I gotta correct that sometimes.
That's cute.